This is Paloma.
And Maddie.
Hi, I'm Chris from Stars.
And I'm Pat from Stars.
Night shop in Oxford Street. One where the vampires meet. Silk purse, pink tie and all of that. Platforms, white teeth, the stupid hat. They really like to see you there. You make them think you really care. I've watched you take your makeup off. Your face grows hard, your eyes grow soft.
So, I heard you guys in soundcheck, you were talking about GORP. Did you decide what GORP stands for? Because I heard an answer, but it wasn't right. So tell me what you think it stands for.
Granola, oatmeal, raisins, and peanuts.
No.
No?
No. What do you think it stands for?
No idea.
Uh-oh, we're locked in.
That's okay.
It's, you ready?
Yeah.
It's good old raisins and peanuts.
No,
GORP,
no, no.
Look it up. Yeah.
Just raisins and peanuts?
Just raisins and peanuts. GORP is a mixture of raisins and peanuts.
That's not the granola line. That's not the GORP I know.
Yeah, well, that's...
Good old raisins and peanuts.
It's good old raisins and peanuts.
That was good.
Yeah, look it up. We'll look it up.
We'll look that up. And
yeah,
Robert
it's a
Louis
bet.
Stevenson.
And Robert Louis Stevenson. Mm-hmm. So you guys are getting to the end of what seems to me, it looks like it's been a long tour. How's everything going?
Fantastic.
Remarkably smooth.
We have a great crew that make us look and sound great every night, and we're loving it.
Yeah.
We had a great show in LA last night.
Great show in San Francisco.
Seattle was great too.
Yeah.
We're generally happy.
We're doing well. Things are well.
Have you played at any haunted venues?
Yes.
Yes.
Which one?
We're going back to the haunted venue, in fact.
Well,
in
Vancouver, in the Vogue.
Yes.
Was definitely haunted.
Definitely haunted. Bimbo's is haunted, for sure.
How do you know?
You can feel it. And the place in Kentucky where they invented the Tommy gun.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're going as well. Across the river from Cincinnati. What's that place called? It is definitely haunted. It's creepy.
Do you have any ghost stories at all?
Well, I've had a really scary half dream. Or it was a dream, but I was half awake. So I don't know if that counts, but... I could tell that one.
Yeah, tell it.
Basically, I dreamt that I woke up and I went and I got out of bed because I was having tingly feelings in my legs. So I got out of bed.
I think that's called peripheral artery disorder.
Yeah,
there's a commercial
for that. Restless
leg
syndrome.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah, I got out of bed and I went to the mirror and. I looked into the mirror, and then staring straight at into the mirror, and then in the back of the mirror there was a 40-year-old woman staring right at me, and our eyes kind of locked, and I just started to tremble.
How do you know she was 40?
Well, I'm just assuming the basic range of where she was at in that form. So I got really scared and I woke up and I was freaked out. And then I immediately got out of bed and put my pants on and ran out the door. And this was the time we were recording, so we were in Vancouver at the time and I was like 6 in the morning, so I kind of like just wandered the streets until 12 o'clock when the band met. So that's my
then you
path.
You battled her the next
Did
night.
You?
The next night I went back and we had a battle.
And how was that?
She was covering over your bed or something, wasn't she?
Yeah, the next night I went back and I was freaked out, scared. And I left the TV on all night and the lights on and I didn't fall asleep till like 5 in the morning. And then I had another crazy dream where at this point, she wasn't like a physical form. She was just like a spiraling energy at the end of my bed. And we started battling. Like, I was like, get away from me, get away from me. And she kind of came at me. The energy came at me, and then I woke up again.
Wow.
And
hi.
Is the nephron?
So yeah, that's my ghost story. And then I left that house the next... That day, I went to a hotel.
Did you ever go back?
No, because that was just... We were in Vancouver for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
And this house... Like, Amy got me this house to stay in for a couple of weeks, so I just left the house and went to a hotel. And some of the material... Like, that's the link between the five ghosts, and... But some of the material on the five ghosts is kind of based on that first...
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question, because to date all of your records, and what I like the most about them is that in addition to being really good music, they're always good stories. And you can almost trace a story from start to finish. So can you tell us some of the stories that we can find in Five Ghosts?
Well, I kind of just gave that one away.
Yeah, that was,
that was
the one.
That
was the
yeah,
one.
That was,
that was the main
that
one.
That was the main one.
I mean, Torque loves the story writing.
Yeah.
He loves the sort of this. He loves telling stories and songs, and as does Amy. They have a different style of composing their stories, but I think that sort of that was the springboard for the themes of the record, as well as, you know, Torque was had a kid, and his father passed away as well, and his father was a big part in our lives as well, so that whole thing, just sort of looking at your past and your family and history and people you lose and people you gain and that sort of thing, was, I think, basically formed the basis of the themes and the stories on this record.
Can you talk a little bit about how each band member has changed over the last 9 or 10 years?
Yeah, I think we're maturing as people and we want to become a better band. You know, we want to get better at what we're doing. I think when we were earlier on, it was you're just trying to hang in there and stay together and
not kill each other.
Everything was kind of chaotic. You know, so you're just kind of the early years of a band is pretty like you don't have very much money and. It's pretty tough.
You probably still don't have very much money, but
well,
yeah.
But you know, we can make a living.
Right, so. You can make a living now.
So yeah, that helps.
It's tenuous and fleeting, but nonetheless, we've managed to keep it together. I think we've just become more. I think we got over all the bullshit that surrounds not knowing what you're doing. I think we kind of got over that and got pretty bored with having the same thing go around and around, and just learned to accept the things that were constant. And then we got our act together and started taking care of our business and being a little more professional. And that's probably the biggest change.
So is it like being in a marriage or a partnership, or is it like being siblings? What do you think?
Siblings. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely siblings. I mean, there are some marriages and partnerships that go on within sibling-ness, which is kind of taboo, but nonetheless it happens. But no, definitely.
Incest happening, huh?
Yeah. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely some incest happening, but there's... That's... What are you going to do if you're only the only five people in the entire world? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, no, yeah, I think so. What was I going to say? Something I was going to say. Oh, no, it's fine.
Well, that was... We don't really talk about this very much, but Amy and I were together for 3 years, and then we broke up, and then Evan and Amy kind of pretty immediately hooked up. So that was, like, just in terms of, like, how a band changes and the experiences of a band. I mean, that was a huge kind of meltdown. Like year 44, no, 6 years ago. So we were just struggling. We were just, you know, Evan and I stopped talking for like a year. We still played, but that had a lot of healing had to happen, and I think. Where you see us now, you know, it's like coming out of that and forgiving and kind of loving to play again with each other.
So, who do you consider to be each of your symbolic musical parents? Like, for example, for me, if I was going to pick two musicians to be my parents, I would love to have Arthur Lee and Loretta Lynn be my parents. How about you guys?
I'll go with Bjork for my mother.
Jimi Hendrix would be a good father, I think. And my mother, who do you want to be your father? A good musical mother.
Playing dad right now.
Blondie might be fun. No,
yeah.
No, maybe not.
Who's the lead singer of Loverboy?
Oh, what the hell's his name?
You know?
I don't know.
The lead singer of Loverboy is...
Gosh, come on.
I've seen so many...
You've watched those VH1
yeah,
well,
I'll
specials.
Just go David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth, good choice.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
be a fun
I can see that. Yeah, so, a friend of mine was asking me who I was interviewing today, and I was trying to explain it to her, and she says, oh yeah, Broken Social Scene. I know Broken Social Scene. So I was trying
broken
to...
question.
I was trying to explain to her, well, no, Stars is a band, and they participate in Broken Social Scene, which is this other kind of a thing. But do you feel like any one project takes precedence over the other, or how do you negotiate all these different projects?
I'm going to break it down for you.
Do it.
We don't play in Broken Social Scene.
Oh, you guys don't?
No.
Okay.
We don't. Evan and Amy do.
Evan and Amy
occasionally.
Do. Okay.
They used
sometimes.
To do a lot more.
They used to do a lot more, but they don't. They haven't really in the last 4 years.
Once
five
we
years.
Rededicated ourselves to the band.
So this is like precedence taking.
It's just funny. Like every art, we read so many articles and everything saying. Stars, the Broken Social
yeah.
Scene offshoot, and I think Stars existed before Broken Social Scene even existed.
And that's kind of what I was trying to get.
It's
kind
of like
yeah.
Broken Social Scene is a collective of friends,
right?
Who, you know, headed by like five dudes, and they bring in all their collective musical friends. It's like saying, like, does anybody say that Metric is a Broken Social Scene offshoot?
No, they don't,
which,
and that's
which
yeah.
is kind of funny
it's
because
funny.
They are. Equally involved in that project as, say, Stars is.
It was a year, you know, when it all first, when Broken kind of had the big You Forgotten and People record. I mean, think we were definitely touring with them all the time. We were on the same label, and
mm-hmm.
we were kind of, we were, I think the label. Put out into the world that there was a good way of
marketing,
selling and
yeah.
marketing both bands.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, yeah, I mean, as the years went by, that stopped happening. You know, we stopped because we all got busy. And both projects kind of had to go their separate ways and become independent from one another. It's easy for the press just to coin something, it's easier for them to do their job to let go. You know, this is what I read. They read that somewhere.
Yes.
So,
you hear that, boys and girls?
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the Soft Revolution label?
Yeah.
It's our own imprint. When we ended our contract with Arts and Crafts, we decided that I think it was probably in the interest of preserving friendships and also maybe distancing ourselves from that.
From
Broken Social Scene to a certain, because that was sort of, like that was, we were two bands that were trying
they're,
to.
They're the thing. Band in our past. I mean, they're the ones.
So we wanted to start, and we figured we've been in the business long enough that, and that's, we just figured that we could have our own imprint and we might as well control as much of our music as we can, so we just decided that that would be a good direction to go to. And it's not like we're doing it all ourselves. We
right.
have a lot of help from all sorts of different people on that, but you know, you have to hire out, and it's essentially the same, but basically it was our way of staking our territory, sure. I guess.
So, I'm going to change the subject here. What was the first record that each of you made a conscious decision to buy with your own money? I mean, when I was a kid, my grandparents would buy me records and stuff, but it wasn't until, you know, one day you wake up and you've got your own money in your hand and you...
I think I bought John and Vangelis, Friends of Mr. Cairo. I remember hearing it on the radio. I was on the radio all the time when I was a kid. Non-stop clock radio action. And
the clock radio with the wood?
Yep, with the wood. My grandmother gave it to me when I was about 7 or 6, and I just listened to it all the same. And then one night I heard Friends of Mr. Cairo on rock radio or something, and it's like a 10-minute epic song with car chases and machine gun battles and all kinds of stuff, and I just thought it was the best thing ever. And I remember that being maybe the first record I bought, which is kind of strange. It's a strange one.
Interesting.
Chris?
I'm going to say that Men at Work record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge obsession of mine.
What's that, like, what, 82?
I'd say about 82.
82?
Yeah. I think so. I remember rocking to that when I was about 9.
So, where do you guys see yourselves in 10 years?
Hopefully on a beach in Mexico.
Yeah.
What, if it's safe to go to Mexico?
Yeah, I'd say fine.
Teasing.
I hope clearly I'll be gardening somewhere. Having a sweet, sweet garden. Building Patty's custom compost boxes for for the millions. It's my offshoot. That's my thing. I might have an ice cream company, too. We'll see. Comes first.
Ice cream company. Yeah, I daydream about having a job scooping ice cream.
What happened to chicken and waffles?
That can be there, too. I haven't decided.
Chicken
and
waffles and ice cream.
I was thinking of having a coffee shop. A small coffee shop with ice cream and doing just waffles on the weekend.
That works.
I could throw a deep fryer in there.
So, do you have anything else you feel like saying before the grand finale?
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Robert Louis Stevenson. Go, go,
if
go.
If it's Robert Louis Stevenson.
Great question.
Yeah. Thanks. So here's the grand finale. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Will you give us... It's not that bad. Don't shake your head at me. Will you give us your very best pirate impression?
Well, we were at the Arbar last night. That's why we're feeling so enthusiastic today. The Arbar! Take me to the Arbar!
The Arbar!
Arbar! There you go.
The Arbar!
Well, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure. Get some
some
rest or drink some more, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever we'll do for you.
Fair enough.
When I was a little girl, the world was small to me. All the light in my life filtered softly through the trees. The shadows in the photographs, five ghosts who followed me. I was only